you! On now! About to witness the awesome, the crushing fighter of the UGS Robinson. Oh, wait a minute. Where is he? Show. Stubborn! Welcome, my friends, to a show that seemingly never ends. This is version 3. Oh! 5 of the New Year's Robinson Show Stomper. Mr. Ears has come and put me for a loss. I thought, I'm going to lose a single? No, not me. I guess you. You're in a tunnel. It's all right. Hang in there. This is version 3 of 305 and you just Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ears Robinson. Sing us in like he has every single week since 2007 is Bob Riley from Stigmata. That's who you're hearing right now. Off the record, the calling of the just still available from Revelation Records in Huntington Beach, California, where they hit your car with a hammer, shoot you to death in a nightclub, and run your mayor pro tem out of town to run a substandard restaurant in Central Florida. We got a lot to get in today. The fight, which I broke down and watched. Yeah. But first, let's let Bob sing us in. Immortal words to start the show forever. Listen, listen well.
I'm on my way back to nowhere. I took my time with
but I could not see so clear, but I'm taking a real good look at you. I'm taking a real good look at your face. So being paid back is for always nothing. All right, my friend. Well, my friend.
This is 305. I remembered the show. I haven't seen the Bob Marley movie. Okay. But we got a lot to talk about today. So let's get to it. Commercial-wise... you heard about last week where I had to delay paying June the money because I did have it. Oh, I need this money on the first. Well, I'd gladly pay you Tuesday for a podcast today. Did not have it, and now I have it. Of course, now that I have it, now I'm getting other. I got letters here. Fan mail from Flounder. Please take action to address the situation. I'm not saying you got to give me money, but I am saying that if you're watching now, you're watching for free. Let's not let that be an affectation. You do know that you could sponsor the show a little $5 here, there. You know, you could help out. The Eugene S. Robinson Showstomper Substack is how you help out, pay, donate. You know, it'd be nice. You don't have to do it forever. I have to do it forever. But you know, I got to pay June once a month, so help out here. This is version 305 of You Just Robbed the Showstomper, and let's go back a little bit in time. Hey, look, the commercials are over. I spent 30 seconds. Don't worry about it. Let's go back a little bit in time. And what if you read the show, if you read the other Substack, the Look What You Made Me Do, the Eugene S. Robinson Substack, you know, you know that... I'm obsessed this whole week in its entirety with a look on Anthony Joshua's face. Now, for those of you who don't box and haven't stepped in the squared circle, who have never gotten to a wrestling mat or have, you know, one-on-one competition, team competition doesn't count because while your agita is specific and personal, in general, it's collectivized. You step on that mat, you step in the cage or the ring, it's you. And so I'm barely paying attention. I'm barely paying attention to all of it, right? because I'm in that frame of mind. I got other things to think about. I got, you know, Boone Wells got a new bass player. I got to get tours scheduled. I got a Substack event. Apparently, I'm one of the Substack bestsellers. So they've invited me to an event on the 19th. It's free food. So I'm going to show up and borrow money from people. Hey, I need to get a sandwich. You got a fiver? And then never pay them back. That's going to be my... They'll never invite me to another. In any case, that's not the point. The point is, this week was proceeding a pace. I got the piece. All the normal things I talked about, if you watch the If the Shoes Fit on Tuesday, that's what occupied this week. But then I saw something. I told somebody, hey, I'm going to watch the fight. I'm going to watch the fight. I didn't watch the fight. The Francis Ngannou, Anthony Joshua fight. I watched the fight. I forgot about it in total. That's how hectic the week has been until I start reading the reports. But that is neither here nor there. What I did see going into Friday's fight was Wednesday. A look, you know, they have the stare down, the weigh-in thing. But then what I saw post-fight, which was some pre-fight stuff, was Anthony Joshua's face right before... I've watched the entire fight at this point. Watch his face before the fight begins. So watch his face. And there's an interesting look on his face. It is fear. And if those of you who have never done this, you're like, what's that guy got to be? He's one of the biggest badasses around. What's he got to be afraid of? Do you know somebody did an analysis of the physics behind boxing and brain damage? Most professional boxers are able to cause brain damage in the average person in no time at all. One strike. In fact, if you live in the San Francisco Bay Area, you notably, Mr. 187, who had been head of the Hell's Angel security detail in San Jose, Steve Tawson, a known associate of mine before he was shot at a Hell's Angels funeral, killed two guys. He was bouncing at the Pink Pussycat. He was a semi-pro boxer. These guys got out of hand. He stepped into the alley. They assaulted him, and he defended himself. Okay. Yeah, he walked before he was shot. But and I've been obsessed with that this week as well. I can't really ask this question too widely, but are there gay Hell's Angels? Given the distribution and the number, there got to be gay Hell's Angels. Hell's Angels will never talk to the press. And if you were to get an interview with a Hell's Angel and you were to ask this, you might be in line for an ass whipping. But it's, in terms of distribution, there have got to be gay Hell's Angels. And not only that, they got to be the toughest fucking Hell's Angels, toughest of the tough. Because I don't know what happens if you get discovered being a gay Hell's Angels. Or I don't even know, given how man-directed the entire organization is anyway, I don't even know if you would be found out. You're just really into your bike. Don't have time for old ladies. Leave them be. Let them be. I think since all of it came from the military, it's maybe don't ask, don't tell. But it's just something to think about. Gay Hell's Angels. I've said it twice on this show. I will not say it again. I'm sitting right now literally half a mile from their headquarters here. So I'm not being loose-lipped about it. Just wondering. In any case, I saw this fear in his eyes. Now, the average person, look, Steve Dawson said was a semi-pro boxer. I don't know what that means, semi-pro in terms of boxing, but it was a buddy of mine sparred with him. And it took him 10 months for his vision to come back to normal. So you can get hit hard enough by these guys. How is it that these guys are afraid? Well, it depends on, listen, if anybody's going to start a fight with you, it's under very specific circumstances. If you read the fight book, you know exactly what I mean. If you are in a hurry as a man, if you're a cisgendered man, if you're in a hurry and you're dressed nicely and you're in a couple, you are primed to be fucked with. Because you're in a hurry, so that means you're not going to take the time. You're dressed nicely so that you're not inclined to be dressed anything less than nicely, and you're with a woman, a date, you don't want to imperil her. Which means that, you know, prime, if somebody's going to fuck with you, that's who's fucking with you. All right? Those are the circumstances under which people are going to fuck with you. I don't know how I got down that alley, but I'll make it up to you. So those are the circumstances under which people are prone to fuck with you. Any one of those changes and the likelihood of the likelihood of being messed with, very low. But fear is an interesting thing. There's also some measure of this. If you read the fight book, you know, I was in that situation that got my ear torn open. I was in that situation where I thought I had these guys where the fear gyre went rocked back and forth. At first they were afraid and I was enjoying that fear. I pull out my brass knucks. They're like, brass knucks, that's all you got? Fuck you. But I wasn't afraid. Well, even when they were coring my ear out with the broken bottle, wasn't afraid. Angry, wasn't afraid. But the point is, I look at Joshua's face and I see this fear before he starts to fight. I know Joshua has got a head full of shit. That spiral. What is that? How are you going to control Bernadette? How are they going to control you if they can't control themselves? There's shit on your head on top of shit. It's multi-level chess. You're not just repping you. You're repping boxing. You can't. Moreover, you're trying to send a message to Fury. It's almost a 360 degree message grenade. You're talking about you versus you. You're talking about you. You're talking about you versus Fury, you versus Wilder, you versus the entirety of MMA, and you versus every kid who's trying to convince their mom that boxing with headgear is fine and you should let them do it at the local Y or whatever, the police athletic league or wherever they're boxing. This is an existential issue for the entirety of boxing. There were people honestly whining and moaning and groaning about what happened with Fury and Ngannou being boxing's 9/11. 9/11! Boxing's 9/11. I would say that seemed overcooked to me. However, that's what they were saying. So I'm looking at this fear and I'm like, man, dude's going to get pasted, especially given the height difference. He generally, Tyson always did really well against fighters that were slightly taller and rangier, just could get inside. Note to Cheeto. I want to watch some of that video. Get inside. Don't hang out at the end of the baseball bat. Get inside. It's simple. I'll get back to how not simple it is in a bit, but it's on the face of it, simple. This is what Josh was carrying into this fight with him. This is what he's carrying into the fight with him. Joshua's carrying into the fight with him. Fear does. One of the reasons that people who train martial arts have trained martial arts is because they understand a few basic things. They understand the unavoidableness, the inevitability of those scenarios. Hurry, dress nice, in a date. Moreover, they realize that as men, you are honor bound to fuck with other men. these are the whetstones against we both sharpen ourselves and define our places in space, right? I mean, these are gross generalizations, but okay. Any given Friday night, my wife is excited about the possibility of going out. My wife is specifically excited about the prospect of going out with me. Why? because somehow there's a security sanction involved in being in public with me. The ways in which she might get fucked with alone are ways that she doesn't get fucked with me, which means we can go out to 2 a.m. and she feels okay. We can go out to 4 a.m, 3 a.m. We can go anywhere. If we go to the sex club, anywhere, the disco, we can go anywhere and she feels okay. You know who doesn't feel so okay? Me. Because I've understood basically that I might have to fight to the death at any given opportunity. Some guy at jiu-jitsu was telling me yesterday, he and his wife were in a club in Italy. They're walking out. He stops to say something to somebody or stops to, excuse me, or it turns around. So they're 10 feet between him and his wife. Turns around, 3 guys are hugging his wife. It's like that Adam Sandler skit with Rob Schneider on SNL where they play waiters in an Italian restaurant. And he's like, oh, whoa, let the lady go. He's like, who are you? They go, I'm her husband. The guy goes, yeah, well, fuck you. Boom, boom, boom. Like, you know, he knew that was a possibility when he left the house that night, dressed nicely, in a hurry, in a couple. Her, she's just dealing with, hey, I got my protector here. As it is, she's a hot shit yoga chick. She had to get the fight as it unrolled. He was getting his ass handed to him by the 3 guys. She had to get behind one of the guys, take the guy's tie, and start pulling it to get up and, you know, save her husband's ass. This is the reality, right? This is the reality. But fear is not always an undesirable state. Fear is, what is it Charles Manson said? Paranoia is an awareness. You know, fear is like the whetstone against which you sharpen your paranoia. These are handmaidens. These are good things. Joshua went into this fight using the Jay-Z line, I won't lose. Like my stepfather savagely beating me in Scrabble when I was 7 years old, and me going to the bathroom to cry it out because I was super insanely competitive and couldn't stand losing to a guy who was an award-winning journalist at 7. He won. You know how serious that is? I remember the word that he won with. The word was Ken. I go, you can't use Ken. It's a name. He goes, that is not just a name. I'll look it up. And then I had to do the ritual humiliation thing of going to the dictionary and looking it up and finding the word Ken in the dictionary. Stood up, went to the bathroom and sobbed bitter tears. And my mother said, hey, you might think about letting him win every now and then. And he was like, what kind of message would that send? That's why I love him. And that's why I am the way I am. And I'm giving no quarter. Anthony Joshua steps into that ring. Fear. Yeah, I'm repping me. I'm repping you. I'm repping that clown sitting there named Fury. I absolutely cannot give this to the MMA guys, especially on top of what Ngannou said. Yeah, I'll play a little game. But if we meet each other in the street or outside of here or any other context other than a boxing ring, you should just lay down on the ground because you're fucking dead. Which is, that's essentially what he said at the post-fight press conference to silence a mouthy Tyson Fury.
Hey Showstomper fans, thanks for checking out this teaser of the Eugene S. Robinson Showstomper. Please be sure to join us over at showstomperpodcast.substack.com to subscribe so you can enjoy the remainder of the show. Every show runs a little over an hour for free on the Showstomper YouTube channel every Sunday when it airs live. To catch the show after that, you will need to become a paid subscriber on Substack to help support Eugene's work and help us to keep bringing these shows to you week after week, year after year. Thank you so much for your support. See you over on Substack.